All kidding aside, I want to let all you ladies know the deep appreciation we men have of you. Maybe we don't say it enough or recognize you enough, but during the holidays, I know there's a lot of work that goes on just for us and company and all that. But it's been a very enjoyable Thanksgiving for me. And that is particularly because of Jill and Linda, particularly, worked hard cooking all that wonderful food that we've had and still have. We'll be eating on it for a while. All right. Doesn't sound very interesting if I tell you I would like all of you to be theologians this morning. Of course, theology is the study of God, which all of us are involved in that anyway, aren't we? If we open the scriptures, we're wanting to know about God. But when you say theology, sounds sort of important, a theologian. And we get the idea, well, that's someone who is an expert on the things of God. But I sort of came on this accidentally studying, and I thought it interesting, and I thought maybe you would be interested in it too. This is a study of the doctrine of the Scriptures, and particularly the New Testament. This is a study in nine words. And of course, we can't look at all these nine words today, but I want to give them to you. And you'll be able to see how all the doctrine of the Scriptures can be built around these, and you can build them in your own way by adding Scriptures to these words and being able to tell the whole story, the gospel story, and talking to others about Christ and all this. It's not the way, and not the only way, of course. But it's remarkable how God does things. It's remarkable how we have the Word of God. It's remarkable how the Spirit has given us this and overlooked its writing so that we have what we have and we can understand God's will and what it takes to please Him to be accepted. So the first word, and I got nine words here. It's easy for you to remember, but you can write them down if you think you might not remember them. And oddly enough, some of these words will be very familiar to you, and you would expect them to be there because they're key words, especially in the New Testament. Key words. But some of the ones that you might think should be among this list of nine may not be there. So let's start with probably the one that we don't talk about all the time as far as the Word. Every time we talk about God's Word, we're including this, no doubt. But we don't just look at this Word and talk about it a lot. And I'm going to write it up here. And the word is justification. I could have written that out, but it goes all the way across the page. Justification. When you think about this, you think about building scriptures on this word that would help you to understand what God is doing for us in Jesus Christ. First of all, tell me what justification means, or justified. Be justified. What does that mean to you? It's a big word, justification. Restore?
Purify
is words that, pardon?
Validated,
yeah. Any other? And when we look at that in relationship to God, then, what we're talking about is God justifying us in some way and removing the penalty of sin from us to justify us. The sin and the rebellion that the Bible says that we're guilty of. You see? It's God. It's His act of declaring us free from guilt and making it possible to be acceptable to Him. God has put it in our hearts to search for Him. And that's common, I think, among all people. They have to really work hard to reject this idea of not searching for God. Because it's all right there. God made us that way. And if we haven't really put together an effort to search, it always passes our mind and our hearts. And we have to think about, is there really a God? What's going on here? Why am I here? All that's related to God. And most of the time we're talking about this idea, am I acceptable to God? If He exists, am I acceptable to Him? That would be an important thing, wouldn't it? And that's where we come to this idea of justification. And you can see this is an important word in the Scripture. It's important because we want to be acceptable to God. And you know what the Scripture tells us, outside of Jesus, we're not acceptable. In fact, it tells us that we're failures. In fact, it tells us that we deserve God's wrath. All these things. That's very stark in the Scriptures. It tells us that we don't please God at all. And we need something to come to Him and be pleasing to Him. We need to be justified. And it's the idea, well, am I going to do something to justify myself? Can I do that? Can I do something in the presence of God to justify and to be acceptable to Him? The answer would probably be yes. You might say no. But yes, we must do something. But God has done something. You see, and that's the important thing. Now, let's look at these other two words related to this justification. And we could go to some scriptures, and we will, and look at it. But one that's very closely related to that is another word that we use. Grace. And talking about grace, what do you have to talk about? You have to talk about justification, don't you? What is grace? Pardon? Not earned. merit without having earned it. It's God's grace and His mercy for us. And you begin to see just with these two words how you can start fitting things together in God's Word. If you know it, you can think of verses, you can think of passages that will clarify these. But just using those two words, it makes you think, or it does me anyway, it makes me think of passages like in Ephesians, where it tells us that we are saved by grace, by God's grace. And there's other passages, and we could start putting these together in this paper. You don't have to have hundreds of verses, and you can, but you can use really just a few, and you'll be surprised how well you'll be able to tell others about God and what He expects of us, and mainly what He has done for us. You see? Well, that's one side of it over here. Now, you can just about tell me what's on the other side of it, can't you? This is God's part. Faith. So that's the other key word, another one, that's a part of this scriptural understanding. Now, the idea of these nine words I'm giving you is how they connect together. You should be able to see right away how those just three words connect together, and you can tell a lot about them. You can relate a lot in those three words because of what you have learned already in the Scriptures. But you see how if you use these, you're going to cover the very important thing right there. You've got what you cover in those three words are very important. Right? Here's the next word. These are key words now. God's will in nine words. Here's the next one. Sacrifice. Now, see how that links up to these other words here? Does it make you start thinking? Start thinking about things? How about God's grace in relationship to this? How about justification in relationship to that? How about faith in relationship to that? Can you think of verses, passages that you're familiar with that link up to that? Well, sacrifice has to do with someone, doesn't it? And what would that be? Who would that be? Jesus, yes? If we want the technical word, because Messiah says a lot, the word itself meaning a lot, says a lot, but we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Christ. Christ, the name, that word, Christ, is saying Messiah. Well, we can immediately see how that fits in the sacrifice, can't we? We can see how that Jesus or the Messiah is God's grace. See how that works? Is God's grace to us through the sacrifice. We are justified by one man's righteousness. You can just go on and on, and it helps you to do that. Now, but there's another word over here that's important. It's a key word. Over here. And you should be getting a key here because faith is up here. Words that come together in the Scriptures in the groups and phrases. And what's it take for that? Yes, love. All right. There we got that other key word up there. And we can fit those together in any way we want to. We talk about God's grace. What greater love is there? You see? If we talk about faith, which is our part, that's for me, then I must sacrifice, somebody was saying self a while ago, I must sacrifice to be justified, and there is no love, I don't think, real biblical love without sacrifice. It's love. But this applies to God also, you see. How He, through Christ, sacrificed His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you see, it's tied into how our part of it, too. Tied into our part of this whole scheme of things, if you want to call it a scheme. It's a plan. It's something that God has thought out, and it's just amazing to me the way He thought this out and how things go together and work for us. Well, now we got another word. And it's a key word. It's not one that we use very often, but it's very much a key word if we're trying to lead somebody to Jesus. We're trying to lead someone to Christ. It's key to that. Because it's needed on our part, and it's given on God's part. Grace again. But it's this word. Inheritance. Did I spell it right? Inheritance. All right, let's just examine that word in relationship to the others that we've got so far. Inheritance. Well, again, that has to do with God's grace because He has offered us an inheritance. He has offered to put us in His will. And we need to know, though, that we've got to have this faith in a sacrifice for us to be justified. And that sacrifice took a great deal of love, which we've got to imitate. This is why I was saying, don't think that we have nothing to do for justification, because we do have a lot to do to be justified before God. Not that we can do it by ourselves, because we can't. But we still must do something to be justified before God. And I'll guarantee you, if you study it enough, we point to this a lot, faith. But don't ignore that. I'm telling you, you can't ignore that. Now, in Jesus, we know what Jesus did. He sacrificed, did He not? As far as your life, you cannot ignore that. In your life, in Christ, you should be seeing in your life sacrifice. Jesus says to take up your cross daily. In that same passage, He says deny. What's it take to deny yourself? You see, you're imitating Jesus Christ. We are believers who imitate Jesus. And we've got to see the same thing in us that we see in Jesus. That's why it's very necessary for we to take a look at ourselves all the time. And this is another major reason that we're here this morning. Not because God said, thou shalt attend worship and Bible study on Sunday morning. No. No such command. But we're here because we need the mirror. We need to look in the mirror of Jesus Christ and see ourselves becoming Him. Two words. Okay, what would you think would be over here? Who said that?
Yeah.
Hope. Wow. Look at that. Faith, love, and hope. Where have you heard that before? 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is it? And the greatest of these is love, the Apostle Paul says. So, we have this, and again, see how this, from God, this is God's part. He doesn't leave us without anything. He leaves us with hope. What's our hope? If we really look in the Scriptures. And everyone needs to understand this. That we have an inheritance promised by God. And this is how we operate every day of our life. And sometimes we feel guilty about it. But we are looking for something for ourselves. We sort of say, well, I shouldn't be doing that because God teaches me that shouldn't be my motivation. Well, why did God put this in here if we don't have a motive? And why is it there if that isn't a motive? Why do I need this? And what's it for? Well, it's a hope of something greater. We call it heaven. We call what God has prepared for us. We call it different things. But we are alive and well in Jesus Christ because we have this promise. Now,
Judy. You know, isn't it this, what it also tells you is that in order to receive the reward, we need to be doing specific things, but it also shows me that God has done these things first.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And now all I have to do is imitate what he has done.
Okay, you got two people. You got two people involved. There's a relationship. You want to, and you have expectations in that relationship. Who should do the first thing? Me. Why? Because God first loved us. He didn't wait on us. Isn't that the Scriptures? While we were yet sinners, He died for us. He didn't wait on us. Okay, how about the other person that we love, we're interested in, and should we say, well, when they come across and ask my forgiveness, I'm
when you look at this, and you know, God loved us first. God sacrificed first, you know. And so He's already shown us what he expects of us.
See, I told you to make a theologian out of some. See, that's theology right there that we're talking about. And you're starting to think Scriptures. That's what this whole thing's about. It's just a way. These are key words, no matter how you feel about them. They're key words. But if you use them, like I have put them together here, if you use them that way, then you will be thinking Scriptures. You'll be thinking what you've learned. And one of the hardest things is to be able to think Scriptures. you can open the Bible and you can refer to it and read them. But when you're talking to someone, and those things have got to flow through your heart and your mind and come out of you in a natural way. And these things like this helps you to get the whole picture, you see, of what God has given us in these 9 words. But we got one more word here, don't we? And it has to do with this. And there might be one that you're not thinking about because it isn't used a whole lot in the New Testament, but where it's used, it's very important. And it's there. It's there in the Israelites, what God did for them. And it's for us who believe in Jesus Christ. And in order to have an inheritance for you and I, and to have this hope, it's everlasting life, that's a key.
Salvation.
Salvation, all right. Obedience. See, I told you this is an unusual word. But all those are words that you just said that fall right into this. Except you got to think of a lot of words. But here it is. You want me to know what it is? I haven't got room to put it there. What's this? Adoption. Again, that fits right into God's grace. But it's God that has decided to adopt us when we are rebel, outside of any hope. He adopted the Israelites, did he not? Through Abraham. He adopted us through whom? Through Jesus Christ. And you'll see, the scriptures will go through your mind of how many times in the scripture it calls us children, calls us sons, children of God, sons of God. And it's all by this idea of God's adoption. And it's like that poor little dog out there in the kennel. Just waiting with a sad eye, you know, they show the dog with a sad look. And they say, well, this dog is up for adoption. Please come and get this dog. And your heart goes out to that little animal. It just looks like it needs to be adopted. That's the way God looks at us. We look like we need adoption. He doesn't. Again, he comes to us and adopts us. So those are 9 words, 9 key words that will help you tell the whole story that God wants us to know and wants us to share with one another. And this is a way that you can remember it and not leave things out. You can pick up the whole thing. You see? Can you see that? Can you see how people need to know that they're adopted? And because of that adoption, they have an inheritance, which gives them hope to live by. And because of that hope and that inheritance, and knowing that we're children of God, then we increase in love and thankfulness and appreciation that we've had this past week. And because of that faith we have in what God has done, we are willing to sacrifice even ourselves. And because of that sacrifice, God justifies us. See, I can stand here and talk around those words probably all day and never stop and go to scriptures concerning those things. But not only what God has done for us, but how these words tie into our very lives. How Jesus ties into these things and becomes the very example of all of them. The very person, the pattern by which we live our own lives. When we think of Jesus, a lot of times you think, well, I can't ever be as good as Jesus. I'll never make that. But you're thinking along down the long, wrong lines of thought when you think that. Of course, we can't. We can't. But here's where God's grace comes in. It's not our own righteousness that God looks at. It's not our perfection that God looks at. It's by the life, the righteousness, the goodness of one person who is that, Jesus. Now he says, God is telling us, I know you look at life and all everything that goes on, and to you, I'm just talking for God here. I know to you it looks a little unfair. I mean, just the story of Adam, think about that. Adam and Eve, think of Adam. Here, they disobey God. And because of this disobedience, all of mankind goes down the tube. And you say, well, how fair is that? You ever said that to yourself when you got in school, when the whole class was punished for the one guy, one person? Well, see, this is theology. This is what we're talking about, because Paul says, I know you think that that's unfair, but look at what God has done. Okay? That's right. Yes, and then along those lines, it starts talking about when, like Cornelius, when he was, when Peter spoke to him, and they realized that, hey, the Gentiles are included here. But then it talks about us being Gentiles being adopted. We're adopted into this family, you see. It includes the Jews and the Gentiles, all of mankind. So I just thought this would be interesting. If you can remember those nine words fairly easy, even in the pattern that they're there, and put them together and become instant theologians in your idea of how I'm going to share my faith with others and how I can make sure that I include everything. What you can do that if you open the scriptures and you're able to sit down with someone and read through the whole thing. And you'll pick up everyone, all of this eventually. But that's not an easy task, is it? First of all, just try to get the attention of someone that long. You might get a class with them once a week, and I've done that. And you have a class, and eventually you get through this. But if you only have a limited time with someone, if you think these nine words, you'll pretty well cover the whole subject that they need to understand as far as God's dealing with us and working in our lives. If I'd had time, I was going to go over some of these scriptures. But in dealing with this this idea of Jesus being righteousness for us, look at Romans, the 5th chapter. Just read that chapter. And Paul explains here, explains this idea that it is fair. The grace of God is much more than us thinking about, well, why did all this come up on us because of one man? But look what God has done for us in one man's righteousness. That. You can study a lot of Romans is a theology that the Apostle Paul, you can tell, that he was a theologian, that he was a Pharisee or what he was a part of. That he'd been through school and college and training and seminary. He'd been through all this. You can tell the Apostle Paul was there in what he explains to you and I. So that letter to the Romans is a very important thing. Or his letters are important. The understanding these details of why we do things, how and why we're involved in this thing that God has for us. All right, our time's up. I hope you enjoyed that little bit. I don't know.
You've got nine chapters there.
Become a book. It would be a book. It could fit into it very well. Yeah. Thank you for your attention. You kept me awake. Thanks.